Daniels, and again, we confront last Sunday, Daniel 5, and we saw the king Belshazzar, who was having a drunken party with his wife's concubines, and God had been holding them in judgment for a long time, but now they did that which really provoked God to anger, because they had went into the place of holding and got those holy vessels, silver and gold and vessels that had been in Jerusalem, dedicated to the house of God, carried away to Babylon, and they drank and gave the gods of gold and silver praise. So we saw the handwriting on the wall. Several things we looked at that aspect, but we want to look at Father this morning. Let's read the text together for those of you that were not here last week. And I want to begin with verse 17 in chapter 5 of the book of Daniel. They had summoned Daniel because the king, oh, he trembled him, his knees smote together. He was highly troubled when he saw handwriting. Can you imagine being somewhere and a hand starts writing on the wall? There's got to be some significance to it. He has to be convicted of something he's done wrong. He needs to know what that is. So he summons his astrologers, soothsayers, all the devil's crowd. And as usual, they cannot help. But then the queen mother said, "Don't you remember as a little boy that there was a man in the kingdom, Daniel by name, and how when your father Nebuchadnezzar had that dream that he had forgotten about it, he couldn't interpret it, but yet Daniel did. The gods of all the gods are with him. He is serving the Most High God." Well, summons him. So Daniel comes in, and the conversation goes like this. Well, let's look at verse 14. The king said, "I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of a thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation to dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king, and make known to him the interpretation." The faith that he had in his God, that God would give him that which he needed. And God wants you now to realize this morning that we're servants of the Most High God. And when things go around the world that we don't understand, God wants to use you and I to make that intercession, to hear from heaven. So the faith that God had given him, he's going to utilize it within himself. He couldn't read that writing, but he knew he didn't have to rely within himself, that he had been summoned by the king, but most of all, he had been summoned by the one that had the handwriting on the wall. And if God wrote it, he was surely going to be able to interpret it. "O thy king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom, and majesty, and honor, and glory, and honor." Note, before the interpretation is done, there has to be a recall to his memory as a little boy, that which he should not have forgotten. Because when God gets a handwriting on the wall for any of us, you may be older now, and you may have strayed, you may have squandered the things of God. But when you do certain things and go too far with God, then God will bring to remembrance. And now what he's wanting to do is bring to the king Belshazzar's memory that which he wanted to forget, but he couldn't forget, the things that God had done for his father, and that there is a God in heaven, and God has servants upon this earth. So before the handwriting is being interpreted, listen at the message to the king. And God has a message for us this morning in this. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and language trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And I, his son, O Belshazzar, hath not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. And God wants to bring to our memory this morning. You may be young still, but sometime in your life, and you may be middle-aged or old, but God wants to bring to our memory this morning. You may have learned it in the Sunday school class as a young child, but whatever it is, you have realized and been taught by the Word of God that God is in control. And God brings down those. Now God lifts up and God brings down. And Belshazzar realizes now that what's happened and what will happen is because he has not humbled himself like his father, but hath lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver, of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hath not thou not glorified. Then was a part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Note very clearly that the reason for this is because he has not humbled himself like his father did, but has taken those vessels and give God, the gods of the world, honor and glory. May I remind us that which you already know, lest we forget it, that when you get saved, your body is a vessel unto the Lord. And what you drink and what you eat and what you hear and what you think and how you act belongs to God if you're saved. And there is a time that God will bring judgment. This is the time. Look at the handwriting on the wall quickly. We won't read it all because we have to get to something else this morning. But now, in the 26th verse, this is the interpretation of the thing, meaning God has numbered that kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Periz, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. There was a tipping point. There was a time when God says, enough is enough. And as I had been reading this a couple of weeks ago, studying it, as I was coming back home through Cleveland, Tennessee, the Lord said, go into a certain antique shop, and there I want to have you purchase a balance. Now we know that God's balance, you can't see it, but God identifies us with something we can understand. And there is a balance that God has, the evil and the good. God weighs it constantly. And God directed me to these set of scales in a particular shop. There was many others, but God says, that's the one. I looked at it. It was rusty. The lady said it was the early 1900s, over 100 years old. And God says, that's the one. So it had the price tag on it. And I said, okay, I'll take it. And she said, what are you going to do with that? It doesn't weigh properly. It can't be even adjusted. It's kind of had it. But it's antique. I guess that's why antique shops have things. My dad never liked antiques. He said, I was raised during the Depression. We didn't have anything. And what we had was already old, so I want something new. But anyway, the price of it was based upon the fact that it was antique. And so she said, what are you going to do with that? I said, well, the Lord told me to get it because I'm preaching from the book of Daniel on the judgments of God. And you know what she said? The price was a lot higher. And she said, you can have it for $40. And I said, okay, I was going to pay the other amount, but the number 40 started ringing in my mind. Of course, God's the one that directed me there. And when I got home, I started looking at it, and I said, well, you know, it would be good if I could make this thing balance to start with. And the Lord said, no, wait a minute. I had you get that because it's unusual, is it not? A white one and a black one. Most of them have two of the same color. And even the scale is already tilted in that direction. And he said, the white represents my righteousness, and the black is evil. So if you're saved by the grace of God, he already has the scales, his balancing mechanism, tilted in your direction to give you the benefit of the doubt. And he'll let you go so long, but there's a time and a point. And the number 40 rang in my mind, that she said $40. And God reminded me of the number 40. And let's go back through the Word of God and look how God brings judgments. He does so many things. That's part of his balance mechanism, is the number 40. We need to explore that this morning. First time he uses this in the Word of God is Genesis 7 and 17. Remember, the earth was created without form and void. The darkness was upon the face of the deep, but the light shined. Christ Jesus is a light. And God separated the darkness from the light. And now Christ Jesus is the light of the world. So God created man in his likeness and in his image. But man rebelled. Man sinned. Man followed the instincts that he had learned when Eve was submitted herself to Satan and was beguiled and started listening to him rather than God. And that's the way sin enters in, when you start listening to yourself or someone else rather than God. So God brings judgment. The first thing, I want to look at the judgments of God this morning and look how God judges things. The Word of God just full. This is how God judges things. So first of all, he brought judgment to cleanse and to replace. Listen to what it says in Genesis 7:17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Genesis 8:6. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. So we see the number 40 God uses, a number of temptation, a number of judgment, and he let it rain upon the earth 40 days. At the end thereof, the rain quit. Judgment was over. Job completed. Belshazzar, you have used God's vessels to drink and praise the gods of the world. God has numbered you. You are weighed in God's balance, and you are found wanting. And when God weighs a certain individual or a certain thing in your life and mine or the world, rest assured, he says, it has been divided and it is finished. So after 40 days, the floods were, the rain stopped and the judgment was complete. Everything that God wanted to be killed was killed. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moving along. The second thing, the judgment of God, the number 40, is to correct and humble and prove men. About five scriptures I want to use. And this is what I'm going to share with you this morning, is only that much of the number 40. We don't have time to look at all. We're going to look at the things God wants us to look at this morning, the number 40. Remember, we're talking about the judges for God. And you and I are in his balances. And let's pray to God that we let that righteousness that has been imputed to us, has been given to us from the Lord Jesus Christ, keep the scale tilted. Oh, you say there's hardships and there's all kinds of disappointments come to your life, fleshly, yeah. But the grace of God will tilt it every time. So let's make sure that we listen to God. So moving right along, the corrections to humble and prove them. Numbers 14:34. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day 4 years shall you bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and it shall be known my breach of promise. Israel, I have delivered you from Egypt. I have brought you out of that land, and I'm taking you to a good land, had it reserved for you from long ago. The fields are planted with the grapes. The trees are there with the prunes and everything could be made of the grapes and the plums. And God has got a rich land. All you have to do is go and seize it, occupy it. Go out and look at it. Choose you one man of every tribe. Go out and look at all the things I've got for you. So they went and they spent 40 days. They came back and said, well, it's a good land, all right. Only trouble ever is there's giants out there. And in our sight, we look like grasshoppers compared to them. Joshua and Caleb said, so what? Our God is a mighty God. If he told us we could go, we could go. But they voted, and they said, we won't go. So God says, you spent 40 days, you got 40 years in the wilderness. Always 40. Why? Because it's a number of correction and a number to prove them. Numbers 32:13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generations that lived, that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 8:2, has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. So God let them stay in the wilderness, wandering 1 year for every day. God has a way of bringing judgment to prove us. Why did he do that? The Bible says to prove them and to humble them, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. So God allows things in their life. Remember the righteousness of God, imputed with his righteousness. But Satan comes in to cause us to doubt and cause us to fear. And you know the only thing that's going to replace fear? Perfect love. Cast out fear. And if we allow the love of God to dwell in our heart, the righteousness of God that has imputed us to dwell in the heart, and we trust him and his word rather than what we think or what anyone else thinks or what the world thinks, then God will prove us and bless us. But if he don't, the number 40 exists. It's a time of testing, a time of tribulation, so to speak. But now look what happens in Exodus 16:35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. Until they came to the land inhabited, they did eat manna until they came to the burdens of the land of Canaan. Notice that after 40 years had expired, then 40 is the limit. 40 is a time of testing, but it won't go on 41. And so this helps us understand God's judgment. So God is the one that's in charge of the balance of scale, but we need to read the Word of God. So take inventory yourself. If you have done some things that God has put his finger on and said, thou shall not, thou should not, you haven't asked forgiveness, you keep indulging it, you need to go back and start counting the days, because the day is a day of repentance. And if it approaches 40, it's in dangerous territory. But remember, sometimes God allows us to be tested, to be tried. How long? Won't be more than 40, because deliverance will come. Let's keep reading to prove this point. The Word of God proves the point. And then Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4. Jonah has been summoned to God to go preach judgment to Nineveh. Listen to the message God wants him to preach. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Giving you 40 days notice, you got 40 days to repent, Nineveh. They didn't wait till the 39th day to repent. They took that so seriously, from the king even to the least servant. They were out there in sackcloth and ashes, and they were repentant and said, maybe God's got enough grace and mercy to forgive us our sins if we will turn from our sins. And they did, and he did. The number 40 days, and thou shalt be overthrown. Judges 13:1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. On we go in the Word of God, that God uses that number 40, a time of testing, a time of proving, a time of correction. And whether God says 40 days, 40 hours, or 40 years, that's his choice. But he always uses that number 40. First of all, to cleanse the world because of their sin and neglect, he destroyed all flesh. And then to correct and to humble and to prove them. All the way through the scripture, this is true. But notice the number 40 in the journeying of God. God uses that too. The number 40 that men need to get to God. He's always available. James said, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to thee. And look at some of the scriptures we look at about that. In Exodus 34:28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. God said, Moses, come up to the mount, and I want you to be with me, and I'll be with you 40 days and 40 nights. So there God, by his own hand, wrote the Ten Commandments and carved out the stone, and Moses and Joshua were going back down to the people. And when they got down there, the people, God's forgotten us. You know what they had done? They had taken all that gold earrings and all the different gold they had taken out of Egypt, and they had made them a golden calf and had the audacity, stupidity, to make that and praise that calf and say, they just made it and formed it. This delivered us out of Egypt. You see how silly and stupid people are? There's only one God, and that's the Lord God. So Moses was raw. He had been on his face before God for the people 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine the righteousness of God that had been imputed to him? Why his face so shone that they had to put a veil over him because the righteousness was so clear that they couldn't even look upon him. So now Moses got mad at them and broke the two tablets. And God got mad at him for doing that and said, 40 more days, 40 more nights up on the mountain, sir. He'd already been without food 40 days. It's a long, hard journey from where they were up to Mount Horeb. But there he goes again. And look what happens this time as he's back up there. God says, I made the stones to start with out of my own hand. I wrote it. This time you make the stones. And so it pays for us to understand really. People sin. Don't get so upset with it that you do something dumb that caused you to do like Moses. People's going to sin. It used to bother me. It still bothers me, but I realize I can't do anything about it except get on my knees before God and pray for him. But now Moses is back up there a second time. In Deuteronomy 9:25, he said, thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days, 40 nights. I had fell down at the first. I'm back up there 40 more days, 40 more nights with God, because the Lord said he would destroy you. God was going to get rid of him. But Moses now was communing with God. How long? 40 days, 40 nights. And I stayed in the mount, according to the first time, Deuteronomy 10:10, 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened to me at the time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. So when things start happening and God starts, and God says, I've tried Israel in my balances. I brought them out with a mighty hand. I separated the Red Sea to get them across, and yet they have sinned and worshiped gods of gold and silver. I'm going to destroy them. How are you going to get rid of that? Moses got along with God the second time, 40 days, 40 nights, and God hearkened to him, and his prayer was heard, and God did not destroy the people. You know what's going to take for the world to get saved? Of course, all of them won't, but your loved ones and mine, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and get along with God, whether it takes 40 hours, 40 minutes, or 40 weeks, I don't know. But there's something significant God has pointed out in his word about the number 40. And now Moses up there and said, God hearkened to me and did not destroy Israel. So it's a pace to journey. But now let's look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7 and verse 23. And he was full 40 years old. It came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. That's Moses again. Told to us in the book of Acts that Moses was 40. He had seen the Egyptians take advantage and use his people as slaves. And so at 40 years, he started taking action into his own hand. And the scripture said he was a full 40 years old, and it came to his heart to visit his brother, the children of Israel. Then Acts 7:30. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire. 40 more years in the wilderness. And he had been alone with God, and now God's going to come to him. So the angel of the Lord, the Bible says in Acts, came, and the burning bush that would not be consumed. Moses left, and God says, you're on holy ground, take off your shoes. He was 40 when he left Egypt. Now he's 80, 40 more years have expired, and God says, you don't get too old for me to use you. Just take off your shoes and get on with the program I've got at hand. And then 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8. Remember the story of Elijah? Elijah now has went up on the mountain, Mount Carmel, and says, let's let the God that can answer by far be God. You say Baal's God. Well, if he is, prove him. So they went out, you know the story, and they cried and they prayed, and there was no fire coming from a false God. But Elijah goes up now, and he prays a simple prayer, and God answered by fire. And then old Jezebel says, well, I'm going to deal with that prophet. And so he pouted. He said, I'm going to have to get along with God again, but this time I've had enough. I'm old, I'm weary. There's nobody serving God but me. He kept saying that, even though it wasn't true. And listen what happens in 1 Kings 19:8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat. Of course, an angel came and baked those cakes and gave him. And he went on the strength of meat, 40 days and 40 nights. It got him to Horeb, the Mount of God. And you and I need to get along with God. There's something about 40, whether it's 40 minutes, 40 hours, but mark it all the way through the Word of God. And God fed him, and he went and traveled by himself, an old man, all the way up to the top of Mount Horeb again, pretty close to where Moses had been. And one meal endured him on that hot journey, 40 days and 40 nights, the judgment of God. We keep moving along. Look at the time of rain. God always uses that number 40. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 23, and there's many more. I only listed four of them. The Bible says God is in control of everything. All the kings of the world, all principalities and powers are ordained of God. The Bible already told us that God set up Nebuchadnezzar. Would God set up a pagan king? Obviously he would, because he did. Would God allow Belshazzar to be king, although he was wicked? Yes. God sets up every king and every principality and every power there is. Understand it? No. Believe it? Yes. Because the scripture teaches it. So look at the time of rain. Only God could say, this is the day you start raining, and this is the day your rain's finished. And number 40 comes into view. Acts 13:21. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. We know Saul didn't work out too good, so he wasn't about to stick around 40 years in one day. At the end of 40 years, he was finished. Then again, 1 Kings 2 and 11. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 2 Chronicles 9:30. And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. 2 Chronicles 24:1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. God establishes, he builds, he tears down. And God establishes your life and mine, the steps of good men ordered by the Lord. And he still has his numbering system. He still has his weight. Oh, if you're saved, they're tilled in righteousness because of the righteousness that God imputes to us of his own dear son. Be careful you don't tip the scale. Let's keep going. Not only is it a time of rain, but it's a time of rest. The number 40. Judges 3:11. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Over and over in the book of Judges, they would start worshiping God, and God would put in a king, and they'd stray, and God would bring him down. How often? 40 years. And then God would bring judgment, bring the enemy in, and again. Look at the second time. Different king. Judges 5:31. So let all enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun, where he goeth forth in the night, and the land had rest 40 years again. Judges 8:28, third time. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the day of Gideon. And if all this is true, and obviously it is true, that God has this numbering system, then God has not changed. We belong to him. God weighs us continually in the balance, whether or not we love him. And he reminded, Daniel reminded Belshazzar, you knew it. You knew that God had put your pappy out the pasture. How long did he stay out there until he realized anew that God was Lord in control? So God brings judgment. A time of rest, a time of rain, but I want to look next of all, it's a time of temptation. God says that he allows temptation, he permits temptation. How long? Let's see what the text tells us. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 2, talking about Jesus, the Son of God. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. Mark 1:13, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered him. Wasn't about to be tempted 41 days. Why? Because 40 is a number of testing, of judgment, of cleansing, of righteousness, of time being with the Lord, a time to start and a time to end, a time that God begins in their life, a time God allows us to walk in his footsteps, a time God wants you and I to humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. But look at the last one, and we'll almost be closing. Not only a time of temptation, but a time of testimony. Acts 1:3, to whom also he shewed himself, Jesus, of course, alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Oh, God is so real. I want to just read this over and over to myself. And this is just a small portion of the number 40. Probably won't be going any farther than this. But notice that God has a way. Why did God allow this day for Belshazzar to be weighed in the balances and found wanting? Because God says it's time. There will be no more time. And that night, he was slain and the enemy come in. God means business. One other verse. Verse 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed, back in the book of Daniel, of course, chapter 5. And they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put the chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Notice, the king Belshazzar had been read what the handwriting on the wall says. What could he say about it? Did he say, you're not fair, God? No, he still had promised Daniel, anybody that can interpret the dream and read it and tell me what it says shall be clothed in scarlet and a chain of gold around his neck and be third in the kingdom. It wasn't a very good story that he got. You disobeyed God. You didn't humble yourself. You worship gods of gold, of silver. But the time of repentance was past. There was no use of him getting on his knees at this point and saying, God, forgive me, I'll change my life. Too late. God says, tipping point. He had his chances because he knew about Nebuchadnezzar. Yet he would not humble himself. And today, God will do what he wants to do and it'll be right. And you and I cannot stand in his presence and say, God, you didn't treat me right. We've been warned. We realize that God allows us daily to be in his balance scale. And thank God he'll do right by it. There's no way you can interpret the things of God. Just know and trust that God is an awesome God. It's his to begin, to endure, and to end. And God will do that with every one of us. But the question remains, what will we do? He that knoweth to do good, James says, and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And we sin, and then when God convicts us, we repent. Don't go too far in getting God's tipping point, because at that point, you have crossed the line. I didn't say you're not going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven, because God, what he does forever. Would you stand this morning? And you may be here this morning lost, and God has given you opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. Do you realize that one day, would you please come to the piano, organ, play whatever God puts on your heart. One day after God gives you by his own measurement system, which will be right, I've warned you, I've told you, I've given you opportunity to get saved, and you wouldn't heed my warning, and now scale's tipped. Today is the day of salvation. Your heads are bound. Lord Jesus, this is your message. This is your word. And you gave it to us to understand and realize and know that thou art God. You ordain everything. You will finish everything. And while we have breath to breathe and while we have life and a sane mind, let us realize, if we're saved, that you have tilted the scale in our direction with your righteousness. And it would take a lot of sin and unconfession to tilt it, but I don't know how much you do. And when we won't confess, and when we will not yield, we're getting dangerously thin on your judgment, you've already told us, and on your cleansing. And all we need to do is do what these men did, get along with God. Moses did. And Father, we can get along with you too. David did, and every man of God, every woman of God, every person needs to find time every day to get along with you, to get alone with you, Father. We love you so much. Meet the needs of the hour. Save those this morning that's lost. I realize, Father, in this size congregation, no doubt there's people here that's never bowed, never confessed. Some younger point in their life, when they were young, they went up to the front with the rest of the children, whatever. But God, right now, they realize if you were to come, some of them, they're not saved. They haven't confessed of their sin. They haven't lived for you. And this was sent from you, a warning, kind of a handwriting on the wall by the Holy Spirit to us, to them. This is a day of salvation. We're not promised another day. Help us, Lord, yield ourselves to you this day. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. No singing this morning. God's dealing with hearts. Your heads bowed. Pray, please. First of all, if you're saved and you haven't confessed your sins, you need to. You better. Because God is constantly weighing us. And if you're not saved, I would beg you, I would urge you to fall on your face before God and ask forgiveness before it's too late.